Stand to right in the beginning of Debbie's report on what her plans are after this long 2 or 3 week break this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73. Channel 2 right, and beginning of Debbie's report on what her plans are after this long break of 2 or 3 weeks. This Saturday, the 20th of October, 73. Channel 2 right, and beginning of Debbie's report on what she plans to do this after the long break of 2 or 3 weeks. This Saturday, the 20th of October, 73.
No, all my time, he never talked about tennis. And Rick said the one thing he remembered about being in class with Lord is he blew his top when somebody rubbed him the wrong way about Tennyson. He couldn't stand it. Remember that?
I don't remember him saying it, but I can't imagine Ward doing that. I don't know Ward. I mean, I've met him twice out here.
It's most uncommon. No, he's been more pettish since he's been in the office. He never was that way before he got to the office. It's very easy to rub him the wrong way now. I think it's because he wore out most of the time.
Yeah, he's tense too, but too much to do, you get.
Yeah, just solid time. Gets up there early and stays late. No time off. Didn't get to read. That's why he said he missed most and not being able to read. All he reads, he said, is Xerox material.
Hit real hard on your eyes after a while.
It's rubbish, most of it is.
Oh, my.
Well, now, what are you going to do out here is what I wanted. I just want to get your plans.
Well, I would like to keep working on the things that I was doing at the end of the summer and try to put them somehow in some way so that I have something to show for what I've done.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. I said something like that to my mother. I said, you know, it just. People don't believe I've done anything for you. And she said, well, that's silly. You shouldn't. It doesn't make any difference. You shouldn't worry about what people think. But the fact is, you know, I can't go anywhere without getting jumped by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't think they're jumping me.
Yeah.
They don't mean to. I don't mean to. It's me, mostly. It's just.
You haven't got the pat answers yet.
I'm better at it. But I'm not smart enough for most of them.
Well, what is going to be your schedule is what I'm thinking about.
Well, I don't know, because I suppose I should get some kind of job or something. But part-time, something up in town.
Well, now here's the thing. If you're going to get out anything, you got to live around that, and you can't live around a part-time job.
Yeah, but
I'm not telling you what to do now. I'm just telling you. And if you're going to work for me, it's got to be sustained enough, you see, that I can go along with you. Otherwise, see, you're going to waste my time. In other words, you ought to, as I see it, you ought to just sort of line out some of this stuff that needs doing and just stay with it until it gets done.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't include working on Coleman or on those subjects. It includes just getting stuff ready for the printer. That's what I'm thinking. You see, it's wasteful the way we work. We get a whole half a chapter or two, you see, and what we do is just file it and go on to something else. Well, we are we're missing out on the key thing. Like Mr. Nealon said about his daddy, his stepfather. He's a good production man, but not much of a market man. And it won't work that way.
No.
Now those those things you did last fall, you see, your view of them, you see, from what you said, you see, they're sort of embarrassing to you now, but they shouldn't be. You see, what I see in them is now is what I saw in them then. You didn't have much of much content, but you had something else. It'd be almost impossible for you to say what, but I can say it. But I can't do all the work because you got a whole lot of it takes a whole lot of work to do this stuff. See, now I just got out to the first chapter on Mr. Nealon. It had blocked me. I couldn't get to it. And I know what started it. And I finally, the sap began to run, and I knocked it off. And it's what I wanted all the time. But I couldn't see it, and then I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get it. Couldn't get loose. But now, you see, we got all that stuff on Mr. Nealon. You see, that's the most ambitious stuff we've got. And it's all readable. It's some of that fine stuff. I couldn't lay my hand on your pieces on Ms. Nealon. I guess they're in there somewhere.
My hand, nothing.
You gave me copies. Now, I don't know. Maybe you could even do two things at once. Work on the creative side and on the editing side too. But I can't mix them.
Well, I never tried to do it, really.
And all those tapes are up there on the floor, and I couldn't find one to save me. So you see where it loose ends at that. And I just let Rick drop it. They were having so much trouble up there with those machines. And he spent a month up there, and he got two reels to copy. And he's just doing it sort of out of sense. Duty anyhow. But see, all those records, you see, have to. I don't even have access to the tapes. It writes my work to it. To it all.
Yeah. Do you still think about copying them? Or eventually?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I'd do it now, but you see the machines. It's a constant struggle with those machines.
That's a funny thing. I've never this year ever been able to mix this world with that world. I've never been able to reconcile the two. And I guess that's what it comes down to now, too. It's the same thing. Because I have to, I need both. And it's got to be, you know, I'm the one that's got to work it out.
Well, you see, that's what happened to me. I was able to get into the early 60s when I first, in the late 50s, through one thing that Little Faith said. And what I saw was, you see, I was sort of turned loose there in the department and opened up the countryside where I could put my chief energies on that. But I had to stay in the department in order to develop the skills to open up the countryside.
That's right. I mean, I can't do without the world that I have up there in town. And, you know, I also need this world now, too.
Well, let me tell you, Debbie, I see that, but I'm not talking about it as a philosophical thing. I'm talking about it now as a practical thing. You've got material that will help you, that you can get in the print. And nothing still helps you like having your name on a printed page. I can't do it myself. It's just too much work. Much more work. It's not a question of whether you're associated with your friends in town or associated with people out here. It's a matter of getting a piece of work done. Just that. Let me tell you, your choices in your psychological life don't concern me. I work with you on both of them. I mean, up there, out here. But your choices, you see, and the battles you fight, that's your business. And your choices, that's all your business. You are the one. But I don't know these days any line of work you get into, if you're competent in a thing, where you won't have the same thing to do. I don't think it's peculiar to your particular position.
No.
You can just let this go and pick up Coleman or what you want to. But you see, I've got to do certain things, and working with you on Coleman will just tie me down. And you can't work on Coleman without me. Because I have access to so much more information than you do. What you do would be pretty superficial unless you work along with it. Unless I work along with it. I don't have to do it, but I have to sort of go along with it. But I'm willing to do that. But not now. The big thing right now is to get something to show. See, that was a considerable blow when they turned us down to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Rick were largely the cause of it. See, he used the ammunition you put in his hands. I didn't help it. And I worked it out up there, and we'll eventually get back, but it'll take a while. And I won't enter such arrangements as this. Now, if they want it, they'll have to just buy this stuff outright. I'm not going to give them anything. I'm not. If I have a choice, if I live that long. But I look forward to working with them. One reason, you see, is nobody up there has had any experience at all with what we do.
The tapes at all.
You say Sam Proctor does. Well, they're not Sam Proctor, and they don't know what experience he's had. And his experience is not what we've had. So it wouldn't help them at all if they knew what Sam Proctor did. It's a whole different matter. You're just thinking to yourself, that don't help me. See, it's your thinking that helps me. I don't care what you think, you see, but it's just your thinking that I have to kind of know your thinking, you see.
I was thinking about Mr. Neeland, actually. What? You've done a chapter now on Mr. Neeland.
I've done the first chapter. That was a hard one for me.
And what other ones do you see?
It's all done, except the others need touching up. All of it needs touching up.
And just send the. Where would you send it?
Let me tell you, Debbie. You're just prying into my thinking now. I'm not getting into your thinking. You see, I know where to send it, and I don't know where to send it. But I you've just got to get the wheels going.
Yeah.
I can't give you answers to stuff like that. You know I can't answer things like that. You just get something moving and see where it happens. You see, there's not any ready market for it, see? There's not any market for it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to find one. Well, you say, well, yeah, that avoids a struggle entirely. There's let me tell you now from the picture I get of you now, you sort of got all this out of your system, and you've got other things in your mind, and this is sort of foreign to you. So there'd be considerable effort for you to even pick it up, much less work in it. Now, that's a picture I get of your mind.
Well,
see, I never let it go. I don't let your world go either, you see. I stay in both worlds. I stay in a number of worlds. I don't go to cocktail parties, partly because I don't like cocktails, and another reason is it hurts my eyes, and another reason is I don't find it satisfying. I don't get to meet people very satisfactory. That is my limitation. I ought to go to some.
Well, I don't know.
But I don't exclude the world. I stay in that world up there as much as I can.
I actually have a lot of this on my mind all the time. I mean, you think I don't, but...
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. It's not what I think, Debbie. I don't know. That's the reason I said you talk.
I think about it all the time because it is a satisfying thing for me now to go down and talk to Miss Daisy.
And this thing this morning.
And Coleman, it's satisfying to me.
I never saw any. You just see it unroll. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. And you see them. It opens them.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And you see how much they've seen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? See, I never made the connection. Coleman was old man Sam Turner. But see, he's Curtis's age. Mr. Turner was old enough for his daddy. That's what came out this morning.
Uh-huh.
Well, why didn't I know that? I haven't worked in it, for one thing. I've just talked, you see. Working in it is a whole different thing. Now you know that distinction now, don't you?
Yes.
You see, last January we jumped into Mr. Weaver. I did the work. You used what I handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got into we got into Mr. Nealon. Rick had already transcribed it. It was rough. It was almost too rough to see it. And he'd made a little out of it, but not much. But if it hadn't been for what he'd done, I couldn't have done what I did. He made it available, and then I got into it and got the whole thing out where I could see it and made it a little more available. And I'm a little bit more mature than Rick, you see, and I can make a little bit more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it hadn't been for what he did, and what, you see, I didn't realize this. I learned it since January, that the tapes, as much as I feel that I know what's in the tapes, I don't. I can't use it. I got to get it out in shape where I can see it and use it. Well, now you see, if you work on Coleman, you see the groundwork you've got to do.
Yes.
That includes a good bit of transcribing. Well, David's got a new machine coming in. It's got a remote control on it. And that means you can put a foot pedal on it. And that means you can transcribe about twice as fast as you can reaching down there and turning it on.
Mm-hmm. That'd be almost like a dictaphone. You could do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's where it ought to be. Well, it costs the price of a cow. It would be worth it. It enables us to move along when you get to the end. Now, you see, you got Coleman. You got little Bessie. Now, I told you about little Bessie. She came up here. And she came up here. I didn't think she'd ever come. And she sat as far away from the tape as she could, clear over yonder, but her voice filled the room anyhow, you know, just like she was singing. And nobody's here with me. I said, Bessie, I don't know what's holding them up. They ought to be here in a minute. On the strength of that, she came in. Well, in half an hour, Faye came. She had no reason to think you wouldn't come in another half hour. She stayed here 3 hours. She went out. down to Miss Daisy's and stayed another hour or two. So she's got time. Now you see what with that, you see what you can do. Now you can do that along with the other. You see, she's your subject. She's your subject. You developed her, and that is, except you. I don't believe you can get into her from your own senses quite as well as you can if you have a little tape to go with. Go. I think that little tape it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. We never would have had that thing about getting one child in one corner and one in the other. That's on the tape.
You got her voice. You got her exact words. You got her gestures. And it's all right there. Well, now, on the strength of that, you see, we know now how to get her up here. Well, you can't start something else now until you do more on Coleman and a little more on her. Now, you see, what you do, Debbie, if you go to writer's conference, I know what happens. You get into a great deal of the technical things, the point of view and all like that. It'll be raw in your mind, and it'll slow you up rather than help you. It takes a long time for it to assimilate. Well, what you've been doing so far is using my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done about as much of that as the professional writers have. Well, just go on using my experience. You haven't exhausted it yet. And you see, as you get farther into it and get material that you can handle and work up your tolerance to where you can stay with it enough to produce something, and you've done pretty well on that. Extra well, better than anyone I've worked with. You see, Rick knows some things a great deal better than you do, as far as I can tell. But the one thing he can't do, he can't live around the subject like you did. You see, that was a real achievement this summer. It almost killed you.
Mm-hmm.
You look like the Witch of Endor a good part of the time. I mean, it showed in your face. It's hard. Just living around something, especially 24 hours a day. You go down there and then you come up here and live around it again over your time crisis. And you did that week after week. Well, who do you know has done that? You see, you're so far ahead of anybody at that writer's conference. What they say over there, not going to help you. And your point of view is going to be so different.
Yes, I know that.
It's not going to help you at this juncture. You see, you can use enough of the technique or the method of handling the stuff from me. You won't have to live with it the rest of your life, but for the present, you see, what I know will carry you through. It'll handle about all you've got to say. And I would say it'd be far. Now, you see, you're the judge. But as I see it, it would be far, far preferable for you to stay with what you've already, with the land you've already cultivated. And you've got Coleman, you see. What you said about Coleman really isn't very much. And you wore out, and it took you a week to rewrite something that you could almost do in a day. That's your last piece on Coleman. That's
mm-hmm.
your sustained piece. But even so, you saw so much more than you actually performed. And now you see you're ready for something else. And you don't have to have Coleman for this. You've got it on the tapes. And you're up to the point now where you can use the tapes. And you got the, I think you've got the colors, you see, where you can do a good bit of groundwork before you start setting down the final thing. You can do that yourself. But I think for practical purposes, I think you ought to backtrack and just hold it. You can keep this going. You can keep Coleman going just a little bit. Keep it warm in mind. We can keep Miss we can keep little Bessie going. With you here, we can. I can do it. You can keep that going and find out a good bit more about her. And get, you know, and get it on tape, some of it on tape. You see, I've got over 2 hours on tape.
Yeah, she's been up twice now since summer. So that's...
She's only been here once to talk. Oh, yes, that little short thing where she wouldn't sit down. Well, I'll tell you what. The talk's not as good as it was.
You said on the phone, yeah.
The center, you see, brought her to life. Well, now with you here, it'll be a kind of a little center again. Well, she said outright that she appreciated what you did. Now, she not only likes you, but she appreciates what you did. And you were one of the few people that actually helped come down there, you see. Even the old friends didn't show up.
Mm.
And here you are, a perfect newcomer. So I'll swear, Debbie, God, it's just ready made. She can say things. She got a lot to say. I taped something on the television. A colored woman who writes books who talks just like she does. Sort of that gabble. She's got some of the gabble, just filling time just to hear herself talk.
The yakety yak,
yeah.
She calls it.
Yeah. She got things to say, but she's got a good bit of that too. So, You have to, you know, you're the judge, and you see, you can work now without me, but just a little, I can work with you a little bit. I can go on to something else now.
Well, if we hold, say, just hold Coleman and little Bessie, and get things ready.
Yeah.
There's Mr. Neeland. And
yeah.
Then what about, what were you saying about?
Yeah, and your stuff last fall.
The French thing.
You see, that's got things in it that you don't know is in it.
Yeah.
You see, I talk with you plain. And I take a position of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you see me do that, it's still a little upsetting.
Yeah.
It shakes you just a little. You see, my constitution is so rough. I mean, I've worked in it so much, so long. You see. When I'm emotional, I just cuss. I'm not emotional. You're emotional. You see, you're wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You feel things. I don't feel things. I feel them, but I got a resistance to it, you see. I can feel them and use them at the same time. All that. Well, so, you see, I don't suffer as much as you do. I have blows. I feel them. Yeah, that library thing was a blow, but I turned it. You haven't seen them, Miss I've circulated this stuff to several people. After that, see, I went blackberrying, like Thoreau. It took the form of a little shopping trip with Phyllis to see it. Followed up to Galbraith's statement that the housewife is a great consumer. And that was my little, showing my independence of the events. And furthermore, that same afternoon, I had a big time with JR. The next day. So the library thing, instead of stopping me, you see, he just sort of gave me the impetus to.
Yeah, that's good. Really fine. I don't know why it must be something about. I don't know why. Nothing's impossible.
You got to use your shocks.
Yeah.
You know, Faye talks about going back to bed of a morning. Piss on back, going back to bed. There'll be enough bed, you see, in the hereafter. I want to keep my senses alive. The last thing I want, you see, is rest and peace. Too much of that's ahead. As long as I have vigor, I want it. Go back to bed.
Well.
Unless I'm sick. I'm sick on go. I don't play around with health. Oh, it's such a great thing just to be at the typewriter and see the subject and feel like you're handling it. Nothing compares with it.
That's right. Even if you're not really handling it, when I do things, I'm not really handling it.
Well, you see, you don't write like I do at all. You see, I'm limited. You've got all sorts of possibilities. You see, you can just write circles around me. You can do better as you get experience. But you see, my background has cut me down. There's only certain things I can do. You haven't had that background, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can stay in the open road. Maybe you can. Maybe. Your choices, you see, for a while, will be questionable. You see, this writer's conference over there. I know what they are. You want raw experience. It'll be raw. If it's raw, it means you can't use it. See, it'll take you a year or two to use what they say. I saw way before you did, and I'm not sure that you ever saw it, that the Mississippi trip was a wild goose chase. But you see, emotionally, you were in favor of it, and it's hard for you to take the blow, the shock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just ought to stick your nose out there and let people bloody it a little bit and smack you. So it'll bring life to you. It was a shock. But it was a mental shock. And it didn't hurt anybody. Just a little temporary one. It ought to bring you to life. And make you say, well, why in the hell did I figure on that in the first place? You see, you gotta land on your feet.
Yeah.
Now you can't tell when I see something or whether I'm just using position of doubt and running things down. The best way to see it is to run it down. you may never be able to use the position of God, but I can't get along without it. I just got to strip it and look at it. And that doesn't injure it at all. It's all just in the mind. You can do a little at a time, see. I don't know how much you watch me. You see, faith looks a little faith looks at me more than she does anything I do. If I write something, she don't look at what I'm writing about. She looks at me how I handle it. And she's the only one that's ever done that. And she did it from best on. Understand it. I think you can learn more from me. You know, and not being allergic to me, just allowing me to, you know, within limits of being my working self, than you can from Little Bessie and people like that, or from the Writers' Conference. You see, one thing I've done, and you won't see anyone else like that. I've gone against the system since I was your age. I'm still on my feet. I've been knocked down. And it's taken a lot of people to keep me going, really. But somebody always came along, sort of picked me up when I got knocked down. Somebody. So you see, with all those obligations, I can't say about the tapes, pee on the tapes. People aren't interested in them, I'll just throw them in the ditch. Can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta just overrule them and prepare some of them. When it comes to Mr. Neeland, you see, it's through this thing that I repay some of those obligations. Because I'm saying things about Mr. Neeland that applies to a good many people. It's in it. There's more in those little pieces on Mr. Neeland than probably you realize. You haven't thought much about that.
No, that I never thought that much about Mr. Neeland.
Yeah.
Mr. Neeland.
Yeah.
Ever from the, you know. That what we talked about here.
Yeah. No, it's substantial. You see, it could be the basis for a whole new direction for young people. That kind of work could be. You see, you and Rick, the three of us, did things there that haven't been done before. Don and I invented it, something that's worked out, you see. We're all working out together. But it's there, and you'll see more in it as you go along. See, there's a huge amount in those two little measly things you did on Ms. Neeland. Nobody else could do it. You're the only one. And that little trip that visited two that Rick made with Mr. Neeland to his planning. You just think how simple it is. But how long it took to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else who could do it? The School of Journalism can't do it. They might have feature stories, but a lot of feature stories. There's not very much content you see as you get them. It's just peanut butter sandwich. content they have and what small skills, what meager skills. They don't realize it.
Yeah.
He did it. I didn't show him how to do it. I just saw what he could do. It kind of worked into it all together. He won't stay, he's not, he's still on the team. I don't know what's on his mind. He didn't talk now. But he's gone so far in what we do, I don't think he'll never be able to clear his mind of it, even if he tries. And he doesn't try, he doesn't want to. I said to him, well, you going back to Winn-Dixie? Oh no, he says, I'm not going back down there. He just wiped out all that. What he sees is he's, I imagine he's kind of like you are. He doesn't know exactly what to do. And that's a little unpleasant.
It's unsettling.
Unsettling.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Debbie, I've got that, I'm touching up another one of those chapters. And I don't know what you're up to, or how long you'll be here, or what you're going to do while you're here, you see. You haven't told me anything. So,
well,
came out for the afternoon, as far as I know.
Well, if I came out for the weekend, I have to go back, I have to take my mother's car back. But she's giving it to me for the weekend, grudgingly. Not grudgingly, that's not fair. I was going to leave first thing this morning, and we just had a lot of things we had to do before I could leave. And I, you know, I shouldn't say that. Why don't I get out my folder on France?
I got to do Mr. Nealon first, and if you're going to work with me, you'll have to work on that.
Okay. Dude.
I don't have your pieces on Ms. Nealon, and I haven't looked at them close enough. You need to go through them and what I do is rewrite things. I just look at them and see where they're loose. I just start first and just rewrite them. But see, you can't do that quite. I mean, see, I've done it so much. I can do it without injuring the tone. You can read this first chapter. I need a little help on that.
All right.
And I tell you, now I can see ahead on this Nealon thing. You see, we've got to work out some things in getting that ready for the press. That'll work for the others too. So it's not just an afternoon at work, you see. I've got the walk out now. You see, Rick put it together, but it's loose, and it needs redoing. Bad. It has to be redone. But he's got all the material there. You see, so I can put in the fillers, I think, without too much worry. And I need to get that little biography of him out where I can see it. I can't read it in that onion skin paper.
Oh yes, you want me to type that over there?
Yeah.
All right.
And you see, we may have to alter a little of that. We'll have to write a heading for it and things, you know. But you want to look at it and see what's in it. My thinking on that was this. What I say in chapter one is that I thought with my background, my prose background, I could just line out Mr. Weaver's chronology, his vitae, and then I thought, well, this thing by Gross, whatever his name is, I thought, well, what this fellow done, it's rambles, it's dated. And then it occurred to me. It came to me. It's a document in its own right. It needs preserving too. That's an early tribute to Nealon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I say I just leave it up to him, but I don't. I still put a page or two in on Mr. Nealon's chronology. So, you see, it goes, you see, I'm used to that. I can handle it, and you have something to go by. So the whole shebang has to be gone over. But it's sort of growing in my mind. I get a liking to it. Are you inside or out? You outside?
He's out.
You're too tired coming here. Yeah, there's no place for you. I think it is, but it's fine. Weeks as long as my energy held up. And then once I was spent and flat, oh, I was just hard to live with. I was depressed. And it'd take me two or three days, you see. I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't hardly eat to sort of get building up again. And then I was good for another two or three weeks. Well, it hurt me then. I know what it is now, so I can guard against it. You see, Rick's point, he's living the mental life without the skills of the mental life, without the instincts. No one before him has ever lived it, you see. So he got no safeguards and nothing none of that instinct of survival. And so you see, he does like that, and he gets bogged down, and he don't know what to do. And thinks his bottom's falling out. He thinks the end of the world's coming and all, you see. Or he's about as emotional as you are. And as far as I've ever gone with anybody. And you see, you just have to work it out. You see, if you had the experience before, you can make it easier.
Well, you know she'll appreciate that.
Well, why don't you put out that paper and I'll type it when I get back.
Let me tell you, Debbie, are you going to stay the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you. Now, you're perfectly safe out here. Nobody's going to bother you. And, but I tell you what we got a perfect excuse. You going back to town tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah.
Well, tonight, you see, I don't know what little Bessie's doing, but you tell her we're working out here and you just don't want to spend the night with just a man in the house.
You get little Bessie to come spend the night?
Yes. See if you can't. You got to do that, Daddy. You see, you're perfectly safe. Nobody's going to bother you. But it just don't look right. You tell her to come up here and eat supper with her. And after she gets up here, you don't tell her everything at one time. Tell her we're going to have a little supper and come on up here. And after she gets here, you're going home. You say, the best you can go. I can't stay in a house by myself.
You think she'll stay?
I don't know. But you gotta play your cards.
All right, I'll go down there. I'll ride down and see if she...
No, no.
Oh, telephone her.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm not telling you anything. Do you understand that? I'm just telling you the way it appears to me. And then you just use your own. You just do it.
The way it works out.
Now, let me tell you. One thing I found out, Faye's helped me in these things. You talk to her. But while you talk to her, you're also probing to find out what her program schedule is. So if you know she's got choir practice at 6 o'clock, ain't no use asking her. Tell her we're going to eat late at the choir practice. Well, you know. But you probe a whole lot. You don't come right straight. Now, let me tell you, if that makes you nervous, huh?
What? Asking her to come up here?
No, the probing.
No.
You see what you do? Now you shut me out if I'm in that way, and you just slam the damn door and sit there where I can't hear you. You understand that,
yeah.
Don't you?
Channel 2 right, around 1500, and the end of the Debbie's report on what she plans to do, what her plans are. After the long break, 2 or 3 weeks, this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73, channel 2 right, around 1500, the end of Debbie's report on what her plans are, this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73, channel 2 right, beginning of Debbie's report on what her plans are, after her long break of 2 or 3 weeks, this Saturday, the 20th of September, October 73.
you all introduce yourselves to the country. Yeah.